626 to the tune Bethlehem 447. Hymn 626. Sinners who on Jesus rest must eternally be blessed. All Jehovah's love can give, they from Jesus shall receive. Loved of God, to Jesus given, in the purposes of heaven, they are brought to walk with blood divine, and they must in glory shine. Hymn 626.
Yeah. the Lord may help, I will once again direct your attention to our morning text, which you will find in the book of Job, chapter 5, and the last verse, verse 27. Know this, we have searched it, and so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Know this, we have searched it, and so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. It will not be necessary for me to call over the morning discourse, because there is so much for us to search out that we shall not have sufficient time to enter into all the things. One thing, as I just noticed in our closing hymn, we shall never really discover the depth of it in all our searching. Matchless Jesus, may we be wholly taken up with thee, and in every deep distress lean upon thy truth and grace. How little we know about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The question was asked by the Lord himself when he was here upon this earth, what think ye of Christ? Now our thoughts will be intensified, improved, and drawn forth as by the grace of God we are able to say, lo, this we have searched it. And so it is. Looking at the expression of the hymn here, matchless Jesus, is it so that at the present time any would think that this is an improper description? Is there no one else that can match up to the fullness and suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if by the grace of God we are made searchers, then we shall discover, so it is. Almost all things in life require searching out or research of some sort. And even in natural things, many things have been discovered by searching. Without searching, they would never have discovered those things. But when we come to think upon the Word of God, then we find that if we search successfully, it will be because God is leading us into secret places, into places that are not even thought of by our natural mind. Subsequently, as we are led by the Spirit of God, lo, this we have searched it, and so it is, then we have the proof that it is true. We may have the truth, as it were, in our head. We may have perhaps an enlargement by reference to the writings of other people, and though this might have its place, of course, in the matters of things theological, yet nevertheless we shall not necessarily come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a very distinctive feature about Jesus Christ to the people of God. Peter tells us, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. You're only going to come to and join these people if God leads you and causes you to search out. Now God, and blessed be the Lord God indeed, if we know something of this experience, that God directs his children. Sometimes he will direct you to a certain passage, Sometimes he will cause the light to shine. Sometimes he will touch your heart as you read. Sometimes you will find that Jesus is not a letter saviour, but he's a real saviour. And he is a saviour which is suitable to your lost condition. How far can we go this evening? What do we think of Jesus Christ? Is he just a figure in history that went about doing good? Or is he our all and in all? Do we see him as sufficiency that will meet all our defects and that will cover all our sins? We shall not find this out unless we're guided by the Spirit and therefore have a mind to search it. The truth is discovered as it is searched out under God's direction. Many of the wonders, particularly in the realm of medicine, have been discovered because of God's direction. And I could refer to several eminent men in the century or so ago who discovered by a strange circumstance, and so they came to a knowledge. They could not really boast about their ability above other people, but God had determined that answer to the problems of disease, suddenly certain things happened sent by God, and so a remedy was discovered. But we desire to look into and upon a much higher level of things. We have searched it. Are we people that are greatly diseased? And you know, this will not make any difference to young or old. Some people say, and it seems strange, this strange talking in this day of so-called advanced education, that some would say that the young people do not understand the scriptures. There are many witnesses over the years, both amongst the ungodly and those that are godly, to the simplicity of the authorized version that we have before us, and also the beauty of its language. And yet, whether we are young or old, we shall not discover the glory of the scriptures of truth, and particularly as we consider the written and the incarnate word in all things are the same, without searching. Naturally, if we think about enlarging our understanding, we are reminded that there must be some searching. But where are you going to start? A lot of time can be wasted in searching if we start in the wrong place. Especially if this searching is in regard to the preciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall not know the Lord Jesus Christ at all by the activity of our carnal mind. Our carnal mind has no time for Christ. Have we learned that? Have we searched it out? And that truth, mentioned also in the New Testament, the natural mind is enmity against God, and it cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you think this is right? Sometimes it is good if we read a sentence in the Word of God, and our unbelief questions as to whether it is right or not. But the proper course is, if God in His great mercy gives us a desire to search the matter out, that we may see whether it is right or not. Do you think that the mercy of God is right? Many people, no doubt, would not think that there was any need for God's mercy. We can remember a time in our own lives, perhaps, when we didn't think about God's mercy. But has God so instructed us and given us a direction in our searching that it made it very clear, both in the Word of God and now also in our own experience, that we need God's mercy. Mercy. One of our hymns says, "Mercy is welcome news indeed." Welcome news to sinners in distress. It hasn't always been welcome news. Especially if we do not need it or think we don't need it, then we can dispense with it. And it is surprising how even young children that have come before me in the many experiences I've heard, not only here before the church but also elsewhere, it's been amazing how young children have searched to know what is true. And young men and women have searched, and it wasn't because they had a thought at one time. God led them. There was something that they saw. There was something they couldn't understand. And there was something that they wanted to understand. And by the grace of God and the pressure upon their souls, they must understand it. Now, the great point in regard to all this will principally be found in the feelings that we have of our need of salvation. Do we need salvation? Do we need to be saved? But shall we be satisfied with a shallow salvation? And if we think in our searching we've come to a satisfactory point in our salvation, but then we hear what Ezekiel seeks us, tells us about when the voice of the Spirit came to him and said, "Turn again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these." The abominations which Ezekiel saw was in the house of God. He saw the people worshipping, but they hadn't got their eyes toward God, the God of Israel. God looked at their hearts, and their faces in God's sight were towards idols. Oh, then, a sin that we never realized, that we had the spirit of idolatry within our fallen nature. Now, we've searched, maybe stumbled across this tremendous truth, where we thought that we were on such strong ground, we find the ground like an earthquake moving under our feet. This sometimes, however, will work for good, because it will be the inspiration to our souls to search. Is there any deliverance? Is there any deliverance? Is there any stability? Now, in this chapter, we read in the 17th verse, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." How much correction we need in many things in life. In studies and whatever it may be, I would doubt if anybody has managed to be so successful as to never need correction. never need some little enlightenment. And so they have been glad, or perhaps some with a greater experience, who is pointing out that they're going in the wrong direction. Now, how much more so this is if in our searching we discover that we have one with us aiding our searching and delivering us from searches which will not be successful in the end. So then, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Where does happiness come from? Where does it come from? Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Ah, tell me where. It comes from God alone. And it also comes from God. And we feel the blessedness of it, and makes us happy too, when God corrects us. I will remember one occasion in my life when it appeared to me that God put his hand upon my shoulder, and in my ear he whispered, be not high-minded, but fear. Now, do you think I was angry? I can remember very, very well how happy I was that the Lord had been so gracious to me to speak to me and correct me in the course that I was pursuing on that particular occasion. So, this we have searched it. We have searched the benefit of God's correction, and yet it has not so much been our own ability, but we discover in it, and this is a wonderful thing to search out, that we are dependent upon God for everything, and furthermore, that God himself is leading us by the right way that we might go to a city of habitation. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And how easily it is to pursue that way. And God says, as you begin to search it out, and suddenly you find that the way you have in mind to get to heaven is not the right way at all. Some may think that once they have, as the expression goes, accepted Jesus Christ, then it's going to be a smooth way to heaven. Well, now, the people of God have to search out something differently. They will have to discover that the path to heaven is a hard way, that they cannot dismiss what is related in the Scriptures. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, in this work of God, he chastens his people. He maketh a sore and bindeth up. He woundeth his he and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. It is very clear then that many troubles are bound to come into the pathway of God's children. I venture to say that these troubles spoken of here are not the troubles which are common to men. The troubles that are in one sense quite common to us all. But they are troubles which would come under the heading of tribulation itself. The troubles which God brings into our lives for our benefit. The troubles which cause us to be profited by discovering the great importance thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. How much trouble will come into our lives in the hand of God, mark you. It's a good thing if you can see the things that come into your life, they're in the hand of God. And therefore, if they're in the hand of God, they will never get out of hand. If you yourself, or I myself, had control, we might take chances which would be disastrous. But if God is in charge of your searching, you'll never come to that spot, because the Lord knows exactly when that trouble, whatever it is, has had the purpose and developed that purpose in your soul that was so necessary to your growth. How important it is for people to be concerned about the things that they eat and drink. How many illnesses come upon people because they drink too much or eat too much. But God will give a balanced diet. And he will give a balanced diet by the wisdom that he gives us, even in regard to our own personal constitutional matters. But he shall deliver thee in six troubles, in order that we may know that from which we have been delivered. We need to come into some troubles. Now, I would that as I proceed along these lines, that you would think upon your own life and think upon how God has led you and has directed you into the truth, and that you bless God for the troubles into which you come. Now, this is a good mark if you can bless God for the troubles into which you've come. And you can see that these troubles were in the hand of God, and therefore they would not destroy you, but they would only cause you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee, that is, to destroy thee. Lo, this, we have searched it. You've read some of these verses before, no doubt. Have you just left it there? Or has God given you the desire to search it out? Maybe you've searched it out as you've seen the various lives of people mentioned in the scripture, exactly as there is a confirming word in regard to this. Ye shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. If we want a case, of course, we have the case of Job himself, because he was better in the end than he was at the beginning. And if we look at, say, David's case, if we look at the case of Jacob and Joseph, if we look at the case of Moses and many others in the scriptures, we shall find that this word was written in the lives of people before it was written in the book of Job. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Now, have you been overwhelmed with trouble? And I shall not go into the details as to what trouble it is, but if it is spiritual trouble, that is a trouble that exceeds all other troubles. And it will bring you very low in your mind and body. And yet, when the day of deliverance comes, then, as the scripture, the Lord says in scripture, referring to a woman in travail, once the child, the man child is born, she rejoices, she forgets all the pain. Now, is it so that in some of your troubles, whatever they may have been, very painful to you all the time, but now you're delivered. And being delivered, you forget all the past, and because God himself, even Jesus, has revealed himself to you in such a way that he is an ever-loving, as we have just sung, a matchless Jesus, one that cannot be compared, one that remembered us in our lowest state, one that was mindful of us when we were an outcast, when we felt, no one cares for me at all. But what a wonderful discovery you will make if you find that there's one that thinks about your trouble, thinks about your loneliness, thinks about your dress, your stress, and is it so that you will come to the point, if not now, when you shall sing the praises of God, because God, in his own remarkable way, has manifested himself as one who is ready to look upon people that are outcasts. We find, you know, in the 27th chapter of Isaiah, a reference is made to a particular day. And in that particular day, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, not in a crowd, one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. Let us remember this, that when the great feast was made, and invitations were sent to this one and that one, and they all with one accord began to make excuse. And then the good man of the house who had prepared the supper, he said, go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And why were they to be compelled to come in? Because of their feeling of unsuitability to go to the wedding feast, or the feast at that time. The lame, the poor, those that could not look upon themselves as adequately suited to such a wonderful occasion. Yet God says, come in, come in. One of our verses, one of the scriptures says, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? Now, is it because you are standing without? Because you feel unworthy, that you feel inadequate, that you feel you've not enough knowledge, that you feel that you're not properly clothed? Well, God is able to deliver you from all these troubles and to work a miracle. And that miracle is this: to take your eyes off yourself and cast your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and be assured that this is the outcome of the work of the Spirit of God. Turn our eyes from ourselves, turn our eyes to Jesus Christ. Oh, as long as we look at ourselves, we shall see nothing else but everything that conspires against us. And Satan will use the opportunity to discourage you more and more. But look to Jesus, firm and strong, mercy joined with power. So, this requires some searching, doesn't it? Do any of you say, well, of course I've heard about those things? And so you may. And have you been in the same place now? And are you in the same place now as these other people were in times past? Well, what's to be done? Lo, this, we have searched it. We've got to search this great truth, whether God himself will save the very worst of sinners who on Jesus' aid rely, and who shall of endless life be winners, and your reign be on the sky. Is this true? Can it be true? Well, we have searched it. Have there been things in your life, in your spiritual life, that have been impossible? You say, yeah, you have sometimes been in a temptation where people have put things from them. I've met two people in particular in my life that would go home from the service, having heard the gospel, and would appear to appreciate it, and then add, "But that's not for me. That's not for me." Oh. And why is that? It is because they have not searched it out. And I doubt not that it may be, there might be one amongst us this evening who hears the gospel, wonderful gospel, attracted to the gospel, but there's that power of unbelief, "That's not for me." Now you see, if you search the matter out, you will find that your position is untenable. You will find that if it's not for you, then you're lost. You're going to perish in your sins. You're going to sink into hell itself if that's not for you. But if God has given you grace, your one great desire will be couched in these words: "Tell me, O thou my best beloved, where thou feedst thy flock at noon." It was certainly a case which was obviously a legitimate one, and is mentioned in the Song of Solomon. It begins like this, first chapter: "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee." Have you read these verses? I'm sure you have. But what have you thought about them? Has it been just a superficial thinking, which, when you've looked at them, it has been no more than a matter of interest? We find, and do follow, the way that was obviously going to encourage searching. "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me," notice that, "into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." But now there comes a stumbling block. "I am black." But that stumbling block is removed, because the matter has been searched out. But comely, through the righteousness of Christ, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. And so he goes on, until he comes to this: Tell me. Here is an expression of searching. Not an expression, "Bad as I am, yet still tell me. Tell me the truth, whatever it is. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Is this such a situation wherein you're searching, you have discovered something that makes, and there is something in your soul which has a thirst for God, for the living God. "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." So, here we have just an indication of a person that obviously wants to search. Can I ask you the question, are you a person that wants to search? And we should remember, the once searchers, we should always be searchers, because there will always be something to search, something to discover more deeply. You remember that there was a man that found in his field a pearl of great price. And that was he came upon it suddenly. He searched. Did he know it was there? Perhaps we can say, "Do you know the truth is in the Word of God? Do you know the truth is in the hearts of the people of God? Do you know the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the pearl of great price? Are you going to search?" Do you feel that that pearl will be absolutely sufficient for you in your salvation? So search, oh search again. And then that will be a good day. Lo, this we have searched it, and so it is. You know, sometimes we have been favored to hear the testimony of some of our dear friends before the church here, what have they spoken about? Well, just in a few words, I think we can say where they have said, we have searched it. We've searched for the truth, and we have found it, and we've found the truth, and can say it is so. And that truth is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We have searched it. Have you got something to tell us that you have searched? And you found it's true. You have searched by the grace of God in your heart, and have found that there is one that is able to deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. You have searched. Now, there's no age that we can apply, as some would apply, and say, well, you're not old enough yet. It's very sad when people might look at a small child, say, you're not old enough, you can't understand, but you're not too young to become searchers, especially if you are led by the Spirit of God, so that you're amongst those that you can say, we have searched it, so it is. It doesn't mean to say that we've got to measure our searching by what we have discovered. Remember that there was the poor man who was born blind and had his eyes opened. And he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I can see. He had searched it. Yes, in remarkable ways he had searched it out. And he did know, not by just reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, but now he had been the personal object of the love of Jesus Christ, who opened his eyes. And another thing he found out in this searching, it was not because he himself had made every endeavor to search out the truth. God came to him where he was. Some of us would be able to bear our testimony to this. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, his loving kindness, oh how great. But in coming to the end of our searching today, we come toward the end of this chapter. Thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Then thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn coming in his season. Now this takes us to the end of our lives. Are we approaching the end of our lives? And of course we do not know when the day of the last day which will be upon this earth. But has God given us a confidence in the end of our lives? The psalmist, he speaks to us in Psalm 73 of a personal experience. Begins by announcing the truth. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And so he goes on. Obviously, God has brought him, or allowed him to come, into trouble, occasioned by his looking at the prosperity of the wicked. Now, surely Asaph was not the only one that looked upon the ungodly and envied their prosperity. And Asaph, he had a remarkable view of this, especially when engaging in all their wickedness, the wicked said, "How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" And there are plenty of people in the world that you can hear saying this. "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency," was the way which this statement reflected upon the soul of poor Asaph. But then, the Lord was mindful of him. And in his searching, instead of searching round to see the prosperity of the wicked and how wonderful it was to be in their place, and at the same time looking at his own case and see it just being a long line of trouble, he carried on until. And blessed be God, if in our searching we have gone this way and we've sorted out ever so many things about the ungodly, until. And this proved to us that God was in our searching. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou cast them down into destruction." Now we pass over a few verses and come to this. "Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant I was as a beast before thee." Nevertheless is a remarkable word that recurs in the scripture from time to time. And often says before us, despite the very worst of things, there's still hope of salvation, experience of salvation. "So nevertheless, I am continually with thee." In your trials, in the power of unbelief that rises in your heart, the psalmist said, "Thou art continually with me." And you know, if God is with us, as he is, if we are born again of the Spirit, he never leaves us. Have you searched that out? Have you found that to be true? "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." Have you lost sight of this? Remember what we read in Isaiah 41. "I will hold thee by thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Brought safely by his hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? For has he not his promise passed, that thou shalt overcome at last?" His promise. And then we come to this. "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." And then what follows? "And afterward, receive me to glory." Now with this painful experience through which Asaph passed, you see, he landed on sound foundation. And through the things through which he passed, evidently, he searched matters out, and yet not in the way that men would search matters out. God overruled it all and brought him into that place where he could look at the end of his journey and he could say, "Afterward, receive me to glory." And his very soul is lifted up in worship to God when he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire before beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." In conclusion, the psalmist says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." Have we searched that out? "I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works." Have we searched that out? And are we able to say this evening, "And so it is, so it is"? Well, blessed be God, so it is. Now, just a brief word on the other part of the verse. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. The margin says, for thyself. So, here is a personal benefit. The searching is to be something that you will personally experience, but also you will hear about, and you will want to know, in your case, whether it is true. And God will give his amen to his own personal work in your soul. And when you hear it, you will know that what you've passed through has been and will be for your good in the end. And furthermore, it will be profitable to your soul, and you will be able to reflect upon and remember the way that the Lord thy God has led thee, to humble thee, to prove thee, that thou mightest know what was in thine heart, and so on. May the Lord be gracious to us, and what has been sown in weakness, may he raise in his mighty power, and may we come into the words of the text. Lo, well, we have searched it out, and so it is. Oh, it is a good thing be able to say, and so it is. There was a godly man that used to attend Tamworth Road Chapel many years ago now, and as far as I can remember, he was crippled, and the day came when people visited him, and they sang that hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear." And he said, "So it is!" And he passed away. Oh, now how wonderful that is, to bear your testimony, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds, and to be able to say, "So it is!" And so it is. And to pass out of time into eternity with this lasting testimony, your final testimony. Yes, what I have believed has not been a lie, but it is true, and so it is. The Lord be gracious to us, for Christ's sake. Amen.
We sing hymn 354 to the tune Lloyd 172. Hymn 354. Firm as the earth thy gospel stands, my Lord, my hope, my trust. If I am found in Jesus' hands, my soul can ne'er be lost. His honour is engaged to save the meanest of his sheep. All that his heavenly Father gave, his hands securely keep. Nor death nor hell shall e'er remove his favourites from his breast. In the dear bosom of his love they must forever rest. Hymn 354.
Most gracious and merciful Lord, as we come to the end almost of the first Sabbath day, the first Lord's Day of another year, may we continue our searches into the glory of God, the mercy of God, the tenderness of God, the sympathy of God, and be able to say from time to time, so it is, proved and tried and proved. Thus we become witnesses, and thou hast said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Lead us by thy Spirit into the truth, and may we find the truth holds us, and we are settled in the truth. Forgive all that has been amiss in our services today, but may it be the day that will remind us that thou art with us and will guide us safely on through life's journey and bring us safely to glory. Hear us and receive us now, and pardon our every sin. We ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And may his grace and the Father's love and the fellowship and communion of the ever-blessed Spirit be with us now and ever. Amen.